We're excited to hear what God's put on his heart. Gareth. Shall we have a little cheer for Gareth? A little clap at home. Do a little cheer and a clap. Woo!
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you, those few who are in the room, and welcome to those who are at home. I'm looking at the camera and seeing the top of my head chopped off. Someone will come and sort that out in a minute. Great. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. It's great to be able to share God's word. Earlier this week, as I was just, I think it was right at the beginning of this week, I was listening to UCB Radio, and that song from the Rend Collective, it says, "You're our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore." And it's just been going round and round and round in my head all week. And he's our rescuer, he's our rescuer. We're free from sin forevermore. How sweet the sound, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. And as I was, that's just been going all over and over and over, and even this morning as we've sung some of the songs we've sung, they have the same sentiments, don't they? We have to come to him for our rescue. And I was remembering, Isaac, do you want to put that picture up on the screen? This is a river. It's just any old river, really. We just Googled the picture. But when I was about 12, we went on holiday to Scotland, and we were walking alongside this river. Well, that's exciting. What's going on the screen there? I'll stand over here. No, over here. And then that's fine. And we were walking alongside this river, which was similar to this river. It was full of rocks. And we were jumping, me and my older brother, from rock to rock, crossing the river and recrossing the river. Some of you might have heard this story before. And we came to a place where the distance to jump from rock to rock was like, it was one of those, can I jump that far or not? And this place, the river had narrowed right down, and all of the water of the river was running between these two rocks. And my older brother looked at this space and rather wisely thought, I cannot jump that far. So he went off to find another place. However, me, being the idiot, decided, I could do that. I can jump that far. So I took a running jump, and I almost jumped that far. I ended up sort of on the rock with my arms over, with my feet in the water, and the water was flowing quickly and it was dragging me in. And I was incredibly lucky, because there were a couple just over there taking photographs, a young couple, and they came and they pulled me out. Otherwise I would have gone in the water, and who knows, this was the fast flowing water and it was full of rocks. Who knows what could have happened to me? I don't know if my parents have ever heard me tell that story. I certainly didn't tell them at the time what had happened. And I'm not sure they ever noticed my wet trainers. But that is, you know, a story of the moment when I was, if I had not had somebody else, I would have been in serious trouble. And it was a stranger. I sort of said thank you and ran off, as you do when you're a young boy and in trouble. And I, you know, who knows, probably they tell that story somewhere to this day, when they rescued a boy in the Scottish Highlands. Anyway, I love watching those. There's a show that we watch, Amy watches often with me on the TV, and it's I don't know if you've seen it, it's where the RNLI are rescuing people. It's like made up of footage, mostly of their body cams, where you know, when they're going to sea and they're rescuing. I can't even remember the name of the show. But you watch this program and it's compelling, because they're searching for someone. They know someone is in the water, and they know someone's trapped on rocks somewhere or whatever it might be, and they're searching, and you're watching their cameras, and then eventually they find the person. And it's compelling to watch, because you're waiting to see what's their reaction going to be to being rescued. And often, of course, it's thankfulness. It's usually relief. Sometimes people don't even know that they're in danger. Somebody else has called They're on a sandbank somewhere and they're cut off by the tide and they've not even realized it. And somebody else has called. And to watch those shows, it's an incredible thing. But for all of them, whether they knew it or not, they needed rescue. For all of them, whether they need it or not, they needed someone else to get them out of trouble. For some of us, it's difficult to ask for help. I am one of those people. I am incredibly independent. I like to be able to do things myself. I like to not be relying on other people. However, that's not a good place to be in. I can do this on my own, is my own, and too often I'm too late to ask for help, or if I do ask for help, it's when I'm, I've wasted a whole bunch of time already trying to do it myself. So this morning I just want to focus on this one thing, and it's this: Jesus is our rescuer. He is the one who came to save us. In fact, we've sung already about that this morning. There's a seriously sort of anti-Christian culture within our world at the moment, in that it says this: you can be the best person you can be. Be the best version of you. And it's all over the place. If you watch a Disney film, it will be exactly that. Be the best you can be. Well, I want to tell you this. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Or God's glorious standard, the translation that Isaac just put on the screen there. There is not one of us that will be able to stand before Jesus one day and sing, "This is who I am." There's not one of us that can say, "Take me as you find me." We all have to come to him now and say, "Jesus, forgive me, a sinner." Because we're not good enough on our own. We don't reach the level that it needs to be to live in God's presence. We need rescue. And all around us, this culture of the world says, all I need to do is be the best version of me. Well, the best version of me isn't enough. What I have to do is come to Jesus and say, "God, will you take this and cleanse it, clean it up, make it pure, make it whole?" Because there are times in life when we have to say, "I cannot do this on my own." And, Grant's not here this morning, but there are times when I have to call Grant because I'm not able to deal with gas stuff. I'm pretty good at DIY stuff, but it's against the law for me to touch a gas boiler or whatever. I've got to ask for help. And there's no question then when that happens. I know that's the case. There are other things where I want to do it myself and eventually I need help anyway. Grant is qualified to help me when it comes to a gas boiler. He's got the qualifications. He's able to do it. But here's the thing, I cannot get training, I can't get a qualification to deal with my sin. Jesus is the only one in all of history who's qualified. He's the only one. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the only one. He has a unique qualification. He, as a man who never sinned, he can pay the penalty for my sin. As a man who did no wrong, he is qualified to take my sin upon himself, to take my punishment and to deal with it, and I can be forgiven. Matthew 9, verse 6, Jesus says this. He was about to heal a man paralyzed, and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And they said, "How can he forgive sins?" And Jesus says this, so I prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. Only one person has the authority to forgive our sins. We don't. We cannot do it by ourselves. We can only come to Jesus and say, God, forgive me of my sin. If you want to be forgiven of your sin and set free from its consequences, you've only got one option, and that is to say, Jesus, I need you. The one thing that every human being has in common is that we are unable to do this ourselves. We need to ask Jesus for help. The danger is that we don't recognize we're in trouble. Like I spoke about that program on the TV where some people, they're cut off on a beach or they're on a sandbar and the tides come in and they don't even know they're in trouble, and somebody else calls the Coast Guard and the lifeboat shows up and rescues them. They didn't even know they need rescue. There are too many people in our world that don't recognize they need to be rescued. Too many people go through their whole life thinking they can do it on their own. Well, I want to tell you this morning, you can't do it on your own. And it may be you're hearing my words but not recognizing the truth of that. I want to pray that God will reveal that to you. Because if you don't see your need from a Savior, why would you even want to be rescued? God, I pray even now that every one of us would see the danger we're in, would see our need for rescue. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every single human being has only two options. One is ask Jesus to set us free. The other is remain in bondage. And my prayer is, God, forgive me a sinner. Set me free from my bondage to sin. God, I'm in bondage to death and hell. God, set me free from bondage to death and hell. He is our rescuer. I want to mention this morning, he's also our redeemer. Jesus is the only one that can unlock us from sin, set us free from its consequences. He's the only one that can make us who we're supposed to be. Revelation 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. He's the only one that can set us free both from sin and its consequences and free us to live the life that we are called to live. There are many, many who've recognized their need for rescue, recognized their need to be set free from sin. And they come and they pray and God forgives and cleanses them and sets them free, but still live in a state of bondage because they're in their mind, living in a state of indebtedness. There's one thing to accept rescue, to be pulled out of the water and put in the boat. There's another thing to be then free to live your life again. And when I watch that show about the lifeboats, you watch as some people's reaction is relief. Some people's reaction is thankfulness. But other people's, their reaction is guilt and shame. They know better and they've got themselves in trouble and they feel guilty because they've got themselves on a beach where the tide came in or on the rocks or wherever it might be, and they should have known better. And they feel guilt and shame. And what a terrible thing, you know, maybe to feel that at that moment is the right thing. But what a terrible thing if you continue to feel and live that way. And there are so many Christians that are like that, been set free. And yet we continue to live in shame and in guilt. God wants us to live free from guilt and regret. As Christians, we're not only saved, but we are redeemed. He doesn't want us to live lives which are cringing in fear of his vengeance, because he's promised us freedom and life and hope. He knows we're sinners and he knows we're going to continue to fall in sin. He knows we're going to fail. But here's the thing, he is our father. And what father or mother looks at their children and when they're down doesn't want to lift them up? And when they've fallen doesn't want to encourage them to get going again? When my kids, you know, fail in one way or another, I want them to stand and try again. I don't want them to be in bondage. Or if I do that again, I'll fail again. I want to encourage them to live their lives to the fullest sense. And that's what it means to be redeemed, to be restored, to be set free from all that has gone before. Just finally this morning, I want to remind us that we have this message of good news. Jesus is our rescuer. But we have a message of good news. A few weeks ago, and some of you will have seen this in the news, there were two men who broke the lockdown rules and went camping in the Lake District. And they got themselves into trouble and ended up calling Mountain Rescue. And on the way to rescue them, one of the Mountain Rescue team fell and was very seriously injured and probably won't walk again as a result. And there was a lot of anger about those two guys. They've just brought this upon this guy who's trying to rescue them, and they shouldn't even have been there in the first place. And the sort of, you know, that rises up within all of us. How dare they do that? And they've cost this guy probably, you know, certainly the very least he's going to have loads of rehab for quite a few years. May never walk again. And then I read the reaction of the guy who fell, the guy who is injured, when he came round, because he was unconscious in the hospital, when he came round, his first response was, what about the two? Are they safe? And he never made it to where they were in trouble. He got injured on the way and he was carried off the mountain and taken to hospital. And his first response was, what about those two? And that teaches me something, because we rise up in righteousness for his sake, but he's so worried about them. And as Christians, we can often rise up in righteousness, if you like, and say, that bunch of sinners out there, what a terrible thing it is. And actually, our response should be, what about the two? Are they safe? Are they secure? We don't need to defend God, and we don't need to stand up for what's right and wrong, because he can do it himself. We just need to point people to the rescuer. That guy, that mountain rescue guy, was more focused on the need of those in rescue than his own well-being. And as we've already seen this morning, as Kelly shared with us, and the value that God placed on us. What an incredible thing that he gave himself that we could be free. As Kelly was sharing that, I was reminded of something that happened when I worked on the farm 30 odd years ago. I've probably told you this story before. In the cow sheds, we had automatic yard scrapers, and every 30 minutes or so, they would come through and clean all the slurry away, and they'd scrape it into a ditch which ran out to the slurry storage. One morning, my boss came out, and we'd got some cows that were due to calve in a few weeks' time. They were in the cow shed. They hadn't yet been moved to the place where they normally calved. And he looked at one and he thought, that cow's calved early. And he looked around, where's the calf? And what happened is the cow had calved in the cubicles, and the scrapers had scraped the calf away. And my boss went and looked in the ditch where the slurry was scraped to, and there was the calf with its head above the slurry. And I don't know how he did this, my boss went into this ditch, and it was underneath it. There was a slot, and it was about this deep. And he's waded chest deep in slurry to rescue that calf. And I was not there. It was early in the morning, and I came later that day, and he told me the story. But I look back at that, and I think I probably would not have given myself to save the life of that calf, just because it meant me wading chest deep through slurry. My boss was probably more invested, you know. It was his calf, or at least the farm. But Jesus did so much more even than that. He came, and as we sang before, he was not willing that any of us should perish, and he gave himself. He gave his life to a horrendous death. More than that, he took our punishment. He took our sin upon himself. We need to accept that for ourselves. We need to point others to Jesus. We need to pray for those that don't even see the danger that they're in. They need to be rescued, but they're oblivious. Like those people caught on a beach and the tide's coming in, or whatever it might be. They don't even know the danger. We need to point them to Jesus, the only way out of this mess. If you have never admitted your need, you need to admit your need for help right now. If you're one of those people that wants to be independent, now is the time to say, Jesus, I need you. Many of us have done that already, but we need to again and again come before him saying, God, forgive me, a sinner. Your sin has trapped you, and the tide is coming in. There's none other a Savior, and every one of us, our prayer needs to be, God, forgive me, a sinner. Cleanse me. Make me new. Maybe you've cried out for Jesus for help and he has cleansed you, but you're paralyzed with guilt and shame. You know, so, when I watch that program, you know, sometimes there are people who they know the beach and they know the tide's coming in and they know there's a risk, and yet somehow they get caught there. And so when they're rescued, I saw one a few weeks ago where one of them was a member of the lifeboat crew, and he'd got trapped himself. And of course, there was a lot of mickey taking going on and all of that stuff from the other members of the crew. But you could see that he felt guilt that his friends were called and risking their life for him when he should have known better. And if you're living in that guilt and shame, God wants to set you free. You are his child. Our response to his grace shouldn't be constant self-loathing, but a desire to respond and rescue those in danger. Very often those who are rescued by their lifeboats, their response is to say, I'm going to raise money so that other people can be rescued. Well, how much more for us to respond and say, I'm going to pray that those that don't see the danger can come and cry out to God and saying, set me free, Lord Jesus. Don't get in bondage as a Christian. Be free to be a witness. We're going to sing. I threw a very old song on the band. They probably haven't played this for years and years. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. In fact, Pete is too young to even know this song. It comes from the 70s, so Pete's too young for that. Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away. It comes from Psalm 51, where David he's fallen into sin, and Nathan the prophet comes and confronts him, and his response to God is, forgive me, cleanse me, make me whole again. And as I draw to a close this morning, let's make this our response. And there isn't one of us that can say, I'm safe. We all have to come and say, God, I need you. Create in me a clean heart. So let's sing together. And as we sing, wherever you are, let's commit ourselves. This is the moment. If you've never done it, this is the moment to say, God, I need your help. For those that have done it hundreds of times, this is also the moment to say, God, I need you. Forgive me, a sinner. Cleanse me. Make me new. Renew a right spirit within me. Let's sing. Thank you.